Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
On this night, this Thursday night, I'm snackless, except for an apple that was already in my bag. That's bad news. Now, the inflation has hit the vending machines, you know. These days, you can't really get anything for under a couple bucks. So we'll see. The stomach may be growling far earlier than normal. It usually starts somewhere around the 4 o'clock a.m. Eastern time hour, which is 1 a.m. Pacific time. So about middle of the show is when it generally starts. It might start a lot earlier. This could be a tough one, but I'll soldier through. I'll take one for the team. I was about 2 miles down the road when I realized, don't! I walked out without them. Man, just been one of those days. Anybody else have one of those days? Okay, maybe I'm the only one, but at least it's almost Friday. Whew. Debo Samuel had one of those days, actually, but at least it's almost Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got a lot to get to. Major introductions. Nice to meet you. Meet and greets going on in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and in Queens, New York, where Juan Soto and the Mets are now a thing. And North Carolina has introduced its brand new head football coach. You know what I thought was really cute, actually? Amanda Belichick, who is the Holy Cross lacrosse coach. That sounds funny. She's the head lacrosse coach at Holy Cross. She tweeted, or I guess she quote tweeted, the post from UNC announcing Belichick as their new football coach. And with the powder blue, the Carolina blue, she put Proud Daughter Day, which I think is neat. Honestly, the more I hear from him and the more I see, the more that I hear from around the industry, this is really a dream come true for him. He actually has always wanted to coach in college and really never had the opportunity. Nearly 50 years in the NFL will do that to you. And this is a guy who has 8 Super Bowl rings. It's a guy who has coached at the highest level. It's also a guy who has had to figure it out in places where it wasn't great. And think about where he started with the Browns. I have a lot of family members who are Browns fans who can't stand the dude because of what happened in Cleveland. I don't think he cares about legacy. He's obviously a Hall of Famer and will get there when he first comes up on the ballot. I don't think he cares right now about coaching in the NFL again. Bill Belichick's not a faker. If he doesn't feel like talking, he won't. If he doesn't feel like answering your questions, he doesn't. If he doesn't want to take a job, he doesn't have to. The idea that he took this job and he's going to suck it up for a couple of years just so he can get back to the NFL, or the idea that he took this job and will suck it up for a couple of years just so he can set his son Steven up to be a future head coach, that's dumb. Those two ideas are, to me, dumb, contrived, because people don't want to believe that he actually is excited about a new challenge. But put yourself in that situation. In any situation where you're looking for a new challenge, some people just like change. After years and years and years and years of doing the same thing, it's okay to do something different. He doesn't care what people say about his trip to Chapel Hill. He doesn't care what people say about how his legacy might be tarnished. Honest to God, he doesn't care if you think that he can't win without Tom Brady. What does it matter to Bill Belichick? He loves to coach, and so he's going to go do it. And now he's going to do it in college. The more I hear from him, the more I see, the more reaction you hear from people around him, this is Belichick legit all in. He's not doing it as a stopgap. He's not doing it because he needs to make money. He's not doing it because he's bored. He's not doing it for all the reasons that people are coming up with. Now he's doing it because he likes to coach, and sounds like this is something he just never had the opportunity to do before. So why not now? I think this is cool. I'm stunned by it still, but I think it's cool. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll hear from him, his introductory press conference. The chancellor presented him with a gray short-sleeved UNC hoodie. And he, in turn, pulled out an old UNC sweatshirt from the 50s when his dad used to work there. That's kind of fun. And we'll talk to Dennis Dodd, longtime college football insider, now with CBS Sports. He and I have crossed paths so many times, but it's been a while here on this show. Also, I think the AC is blasting in here, and holy cow, the temps are in the 20s, low 20s with the wind chill, but yet the AC is on in here. It's awesome. I'm going to need borrow that gray short-sleeved hoodie. Funny, the AC is on in here, but if you walk through the double doors into the back offices that no one ever uses anymore, they don't turn on the heat in the wintertime because they assume that if you're in your office, you don't really need heat. So you walk back there and it's frigid, but somehow the AC is on in here. All right. I don't make those kind of decisions, way above my pay grade. Not my department. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Excited to talk to you. Excited to hang out with you on this final edition of the week, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We generally do a poll to ask you the game of the week for the NFL. But since we're pretty sure it's going to be a landslide choice, you know what happens when you assume. Maybe I shouldn't assume, but I do believe it's going to be a landslide choice for Bills and Lions for obvious reasons. Even with the Bills' loss last week to the Los Angeles Rams, same Rams that we'll talk about here momentarily because they were back at it already on Thursday night. Even with that loss for the Bills on the road in LA, they are considered above Kansas City even to be, by many, the best team in the AFC, if not the best team in the NFL. And while they may be behind, a couple of steps behind, in the race for top seed in the AFC, no doubt a victory over Detroit puts them right back where they want to be. And I don't necessarily mean the numbers. I just mean the confidence. I mean the ability to beat anyone in the NFL. And they'll know it, and the rest of the league will know it. So for now, set aside top seed. There's a month to go. They certainly can still earn it in the AFC. But this game is a massive gauge for both of these teams. We know that the Lions offense can light up opposing defenses, same as the Rams can. In fact, with the ability to run the ball like they do and to protect Jared Goff, we've seen them put up 50 plus in multiple games. So that Bills defense will be tested yet again. But the Bills offense, especially when James Cook gets involved, it can run you over. Josh Allen, he can run you over. How healthy will they be? That's a challenge for sure. We know the Lions defense is also missing key pieces. Some key pieces they won't get back. Lions have had 10 days to get ready for this game against the Bills. The Bills, meanwhile, as I say, off the track meet against LA. Offense is tuned up, but what about the defense? I'm really excited to see this one. I know you all are as well. But we shouldn't completely overlook the other nationally televised game in that same window, Eagles and Steelers, just as critical in the NFC. So we have a lot to talk about. We'll preview the biggest games, but instead of putting up a game of the week poll, what we're going to do is make the assumption, I don't think it's a great leap, but make the assumption that the biggest game in week 15's NFL slate is the Lions and the Bills, and instead ask you who's going to win. So producer Pete tells me it's already up. You get to vote for the winner, and we'll see how close we are. So you can find it at Amy After Hours. I'll throw it up on our Facebook page as soon as I have the opportunity. Who's going to win the After Hours game of the week? We'll take a little bit of a different approach on this edition of the show. And I'd love to talk about this one with you. 855-212-4227. Clearly, Rams and Niners was not the game of the week, and I'm not sure anybody would have picked it even before we saw the weather conditions and before we watched the first half. Oh my gosh. Neither team got into the red zone in the first half. It was 3-3 at the break. I lost count of how many punts there were. There were a lot. Closer to a dozen than to zero. It was 3-3. 3-3 at the break. And the second half almost made no sense. I think if you're the Rams and you have the ball for nearly 10 minutes from the third quarter into the fourth quarter, and you take 17 snaps on that particular drive that chews up 10 minutes off the clock, you have to try hard not to score a touchdown. Oh my gosh. That was the type of drive that makes you want to throw something at the TV. With 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, Kyren Williams takes a handoff, goes left side for 4 yards, and the Rams are in the red zone. This is how it went from there. Kyren Williams for 1 yard. Kyren Williams for 6 yards. So now they're on the 11-yard line. Kyren Williams for 7 yards. All right, so far so good. 3 handoffs inside the red zone, 3 runs. Now you're on the 4-yard line to start the fourth quarter. Matthew Stafford runs a couple of yards. Well, runs, you know, he moved a couple of yards to the 2-yard line. But then there was an offensive holding call. So that pushes them back 10 yards. Stafford to Puka Nacua, 7 yards right back where they were. Okay, one step forward, one step back. On third down, there's an incomplete pass, another offensive holding call that's declined, and they settle for a field goal. No joke. They had the ball for 4 minutes inside the red zone. They have 7 snaps inside the red zone and cannot get the ball in the end zone. Oi. Again, I think you have to try really hard to somehow miss the end zone. And this is especially after Stafford finds Puka Nacua for 51 yards, right? You've got opportunities against a depleted Niners defense. At that point, that was the drive before, you must feel like you can find a rhythm. Out of that halftime, you can figure it out. You can find a rhythm. But this is frustrating. Actually, I take it back. It was the drive after. I'm making sure. I just want to confirm as I look at my drives. You've got to feel like you can move the ball because you hold it for 10 minutes. You go 17 plays. Next drive, your very first touch is 51 yards. And in each case, you have to settle for a field goal. Talk about frustrating. Either way, though, your defense is crushing it. And as I say, Deebo Samuel had a worse day. Forget the snacks. Deebo couldn't hold the snacks.
Two receivers left and right. Shotgun snap. Purdy back. Throws over the middle. Drop by Deebo Samuel. And he can't believe it. If Samuel catches that pass, he might be celebrating in the end zone right now. Instead, the 49ers will bring the field goal team out.
Mm-hmm. That was a theme. Lots of teams settling for field goals. The final tallies from this one, when it comes to red zone, the Rams were 0-3. The Niners never made it into the red zone. But that Deebo Samuel drop, that was brutal. He talked about it after. We'll hear from him coming up. So did Kyle Shanahan. This was third quarter when they desperately needed a spark.
Yeah, that was a big one. The third down, and you know, with Deebo's skill set, I would have been shocked if he didn't score on the play. So, everyone knows the answer to that. Deebo, too, he needs to catch that ball. And then we were just off on that post down the field to Ricky right there, two plays before the interception. That could have been a big one, too.
It's tough. It's frustrating. It seems like when things are going haywire, it's easy for them to snowball and pile up. And this has been some kind of a tough year for the Niners. Not that anyone's feel badly for them, of course. Teams can have off years. They've had a ton of injuries. I think guys on and off the field has made a big difference. But also, you, unfortunately, Deebo, have the internet recording you complaining about not, in a passive-aggressive manner, about not getting enough touches, not seeing enough of the football last week. Something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing here, nothing's wrong, I'm just not seeing the passes, or they're just not throwing the passes to me. Oh, huh. So yeah, there's a definite sense of discontent, I think just frustration. And they've not played well with games on the line. This one hung in the balance well into the fourth quarter. It was still tied at 6 in the fourth quarter. And they just could not move the ball. Penalties, mistakes. Brock Purdy throws an interception in the fourth quarter in the end zone. All right, so these are the types of mistakes you can't afford when you're already swimming upstream. So yeah, they end up, once again, inside their own division, squandering an opportunity. That's been the story of the season for the Niners, along with the injuries. But a lot of teams have injuries. You can't necessarily overcome those, although those can be opportunities for younger players. But when you look at the Niners' record inside their division, and it's 1-4, that stands out. They've lost multiple games in the late stages in the NFC West where they still had opportunities to win. They've not been a clutch team this year. They've been the opposite of a clutch team this year. Whether it's penalties, whether it's drops, whether it's mistakes, just poor play, poor execution. I don't think I've seen Kyle Shanahan smile this year. It's been a tough one. So the Niners are not officially eliminated because only one team in the NFC is officially eliminated from playoff contention. but they are now at 6-8. While the Rams, how about this? They've won 3 in a row. They're 7-2 in their last 9 games, which is huge. The defense is coming along. Remember, they had to weather injuries to both Cooper Kupp, who doesn't catch a pass in this game, and Puka Nacua. So here they are at 8-6, and this is what I heard from Ryan Radke on Westwood One during the broadcast. If they win out, they will be a playoff team, period. In fact, if they win out, they will win the division. How about that? Because of the games they still have on their schedule, which includes Seattle. So here's what they have left. At the Jets, against the Cardinals, and against the Seahawks. Those last two games are home. So if the Rams win their last 3 games and run their win streak to 6, they will be the division champions, which means they'll host a playoff game. So that's huge. Good for them. 4 field goals, sloppy game, torrential downpour, missed opportunities to be sure. Again, 0-3 in the red zone isn't going to work against most opponents, but coming off a game in which they had to go toe-to-toe against one of the best teams in the NFL, they beat the Bills, and now they come back and beat their arch rivals in a completely different style. I think that speaks volumes of the Rams. And I believe we've seen them get better over the course of the season. At A-Law Radio, take our Game of the Week poll because it's unique this week. It's a Game of the Week poll in which we've given you the Game of the Week. Oh, you better go check it out. At Amy After Hours, our Facebook page as well. Coming up, we'll get the reaction from this game in the Bay Area. We're glad to have you with us. Yes, Bill Belichick introduced in North Carolina. You will hear it. Juan Soto introduced in Queens. You will hear it. I need someone to send me snacks, please. Please. I'm not above begging. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Here's the snap, ball down. Carney's kick is on the way. It's right down the middle and good. And for the first time tonight, the Los Angeles Rams are in front. They've taken a 9-6 lead with 9:28 remaining. Carney eyes the upright, says he's ready. Here's the snap, ball down. The kick is on the way. It is good. Carney is 4-for-4, and the LA Rams have taken a 12-6 lead with 18 seconds to go. The Rams are on their way to a third straight win and improving their season record to 8-6.
He's steady. He's consistent. He's kind of unflappable. And he went out there, and I mean, even the long one, the 48-yarder, I mean, he knocked that thing true, and it was firm and had great trajectory on it. And then the next 3 were excellent. You know, they're a little bit closer range, but he did a great job. I was really proud of him, but I don't know that I was too surprised.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Just not the kicker. Don't hit the kicker. That's a penalty. Josh Carty ends up with 1 field goal in the second quarter from 20 yards, and then successively 3 of them in the fourth quarter for the LA Rams. Sean McVay raving about his young kicker. 23 yards, 27 yards, 29 yards. I just realized what I said. So it doesn't matter. The first field goal was long, not short. My brain is, I don't even know what's happening to it right now. I think it's because I don't have any snacks and I'm a little...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nervous about when my stomach's going to start growling. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That is just one heck of a day. It was a day. It was a Deebo Samuel kind of day. We're going to hear from Deebo coming up. But first, the Rams, because, as I say, they're now 8-6. And they have won 7 of their last 9 to put themselves in the driver's seat. Should they win out, meaning should they beat their last 3 opponents? It's crazy that we're talking about that, right? Here we are in mid-December, heading into Friday the 13th, and we are down to, at least for these 2 teams, we're down to just 3 games left on their regular season slate. So back to the Rams. They've got the mini bye now, which is huge to survive this game. Beat the Bills on Sunday, survive on Thursday. Now you've got an extra weekend to recover and get ready for 3 games. Win 3 more, and you are the division champions.
This group is getting better. There were some things that we can certainly clean up. I do think the conditions were a factor. And, you know, that's a team that has as much respect for me as anybody. They're so well coached. They got great personnel, and they were fighting for a lot of things tonight. And they made it a really tough, difficult game for us, and our guys came out on top.
In my career, I've had a bunch of Decembers, not a bunch, but quite a few Decembers that, you know, you were just trying to play good football to play good football. You know, we have opportunity to keep our season alive every single time we go out there and play, and that's a whole lot of fun. And, you know, I think our team, you know, show we can win football games kind of any way you want in about a 4-day span. So we got to continue to get better. By no means was it a great performance by us as an offense tonight, but, man, that was some good team football.
They didn't even have 90 yards in the first half, the Rams. Matthew Stafford had a 51-yard connection with Puka Nacua early in the second half. And so as he finishes with 160 yards, 51 of them came on one pass play. You take that catch out of the equation, and here's Matthew Stafford, who last week was leading the Rams up and down the field, up and down the field in a track meet. He barely has over 100 yards passing. So he's right. They've shown that they can win games in a variety of ways. I still say you got to work hard to get 7 snaps inside the red zone, a 17-play drive, nearly 10 minutes, and not score a touchdown. But the idea of being able to keep up with one of the best offenses in the league or one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Josh Allen and the Bills, and then to be able to win this one in what was a slugfest in the conditions, that speaks volumes about the team and its ability to make adjustments.
You might have a weather game, you know, who knows, next week might be, you know, a weather game, whatever it is. You got to find ways to win the football game, got to be tough mentally and physically, and we are that. So got to continue to try to execute as good as we possibly can to make these games, you know, more advantageous for us. But at the same time, they all count for one at this point, and any way you can get them, is we'll take them.
They are one of the hottest teams in football, but I would say they're definitely flying under the radar. Maybe this week draws some more attention. But for now, Matthew Stafford, with all that playoff experience, a healthy Cooper Kupp, a healthy Puka Nacua, a healthy Kyren Williams, who goes over 100 yards rushing again. The team itself in the conditions, nearly 150 yards rushing. That's enormous on the road. One of the reasons that Kyle Shanahan said they lost this game is because they lost the rushing battle. Thankfully, we do not have to consider this as an option for the after hours game of the week. Oh, wait, we know you're going Bills and Lions. You've had it circled on your calendar. It's a CBS broadcast, woot woot, nationally televised, 4:25 Eastern for Bills Mafia and One Pride Detroit. In fact, both of those are Eastern time zone teams. But those of you listening on the West Coast, 1:25 Pacific, you don't want to miss that kick. And actually, it comes at the same time as Steelers and Eagles. So if you need to take a nap during the earlier window of games and then make sure you're primed and ready. Don't forget your snacks. Oh no, I can feel it coming on. The stomach's about to start growling. Don't forget your snacks. You've got those two games. You're not going to want to get up out of your seat very often. Also, here's another one. If we were to put together a game of the week poll, we would have included either Bucks and Chargers, which is in that same window. Those are your, I think there's five games in that window. Those are your three candidates other than Bills, three candidates other than, say, what, Packers, Seahawks, maybe? I guess. So those are all in the same window. Packers, Seahawks is the late game on NBC. Then there's a doubleheader on Monday night, too. So it's nutso. This week, week 15, there are no more buys. That's done. So when you have to play a Thursday night game this late in the year and you're able to get a win, it is a really huge advantage, because especially if your buy came much earlier in the year, you're kind of tired, you're weary mentally and physically. And I think the Rams have navigated this extremely well. A little bit later, we'll talk about the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. They're playing three games in 10 days, is it? And that's a lot. I mean, you're talking about these crazy wrinkles to the schedule that the NFL has designed now. They're not giving up their real estate on Christmas Day. They're not doing it. So somehow they had to make it palatable, manageable, and I'm using that term loosely, for a team to play, two teams, to play on Wednesday. Wednesday! But it's a huge get for them because the numbers were so good last year for the Christmas Day games. But last year, Christmas was on Monday. It's completely different. Now it's a Wednesday. I told you, going back to 2020, when the NFL had games scheduled on every single day of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every single day, they were not giving that up. If they could find a way to expand, or I call it urban sprawl, if they could find a way to spread out, they were not giving that real estate back. And now they've got a way. Oh, well, Christmas falls on a Wednesday. Great. We'll take it. 855-212-4227. If you want to talk about Bills, Lions, who's going to win? That's the poll. I actually don't know which way I'm going. Pete, do you?
I don't either.
I haven't decided yet. I've not voted. I'm staring at the poll. So I don't know the results yet because I haven't cast my vote on Twix at Amy After Hours.
Actually, you know what? I think I know where I'm going.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Where?
Lions.
All right. Why?
I have this stigma on the Bills. I always think in the big moments they're not the best team. So I am going with Lions in this game. And I think they'll be aggressive, like always. They had the mini buy.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's helpful.
To recharge.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm going Lions. They have a lot. I think they still believe they have a lot to prove, especially after what happened in the playoffs last year. So I think games like this are extra special on their schedule.
Mm. Dean Cable this week talking about why he's so aggressive. So we'll get to that. We're definitely going to do a bunch on this game. So you don't have to worry about us not giving it its proper due. We've got the poll up. Who you taking in this game? And then we'll get to this this Kyle Shanahan conversation that he started, really, about Devondre Campbell, who decided he doesn't want to play anymore. That's what Kyle Shanahan told us. That and Dre Greenlaw is back, but Deebo Samuel drops what could have been a touchdown pass. I don't want to assume in that case, but definitely a surefire way to put them inside the red zone. Likely would have been a slant right into the end zone, and yet he drops it not long after throwing shade about how he's not getting enough passes thrown his way. Okay, be careful what you wish for. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, it's almost a Friday. That's what I keep telling myself. We can do this. We got this, peeps. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. We kick off with Thursday Night Football. Rams led the Niners 9-6 in the fourth quarter. The Niners were driving.
Play clock down to 2, down to 1. Purdy in the gun, gets the snap. Back to pass. Purdy looking, taking a shot. Deep down the right side for Jennings, and it's intercepted in the end zone. Purdy hung it in the air, and Darius Williams picked it off.
Ryan Ratke on Westwood 1. Rams beat the Niners 12-6. Joshua Carty with 4 field goals. College football, North Carolina formally introduced new head coach Bill Belichick. Former Patriots head coach always wanted to be a college football coach, but
it just never really worked out. Had some good years in the NFL, so that was okay. But this is really kind of a dream come true. I grew up in college football with my dad. As a coach of Navy for 50 years, so as a kid, all I knew was college football.
Belichick gets a 5-year deal worth $10 million a season. UNLV has named former Florida Mississippi State coach Dan Mullen as their new head coach. Colorado, 2A star Travis Hunter, the Associated Press College Football Player of the Year. Baseball, Mets formally introduced Juan Soto at a Citi Field press conference in New York. Mets signing Soto to a 15-year deal worth $765 million. NBA, Kings over the Pelicans, 111-109. Domantas Sabonis, 32 points, 20 rebounds. Heat over the Raptors, 114-104. The Celtics beat the Pistons, 123-99. College basketball, number 3, Iowa State, beats Iowa, 89-80. NHL, Lightning beat the Flames, 8-3. Jake Gensel with a hat trick. Nikita Kucherov with a goal and 5 assists. Oilers top the Wild, 7-1. Leon Draisaitl with a goal and 3 assists. Brian Rust had 3 goals and an assist. The Penguins over the Canadiens, 9-2. Also, the Kraken beat the Bruins 5-1. Canucks over the Panthers 4-0. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, this is Maggie. We're talking about the NFL all this week on the Infinity Sports Network. Check us out 24/7 on your smart speaker. Just say, play Infinity Sports Network.
Two receivers left and right, shotgun snap, Purdy back, throws over the middle, dropped by Deebo Samuel, and he can't believe it. If Samuel catches that pass, he might be celebrating in the end zone right now. Instead, the 49ers will bring the field goal team out. No timeouts for the 49ers, 3 receivers right, single man left. Purdy gets the snap, back to pass, rush coming, Purdy steps up, grabbed around the ankles, Purdy is sacked and the game is over. The Rams have won the game. A sack of Brock Purdy ends it.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
It is, and here I am, Ryan Radke on Westwood One, along with our friend Ron Rivera, longtime NFL coach. He was the analyst for this edition of Thursday Night Football, so I enjoyed listening to a lot of the game. Second half, really, on Westwood One. Now, there are a couple of different situations that developed that were kind of serious for the San Francisco locker room. The first is that Deebo Samuel drops a pass that very well could have led to the game's only touchdown or could have broken it open. The Niners had a chance to win. This was still a tie game in the fourth quarter, and they needed that. And this comes just a few days after Deebo himself seemed to indicate that he's just not getting the ball as much as he should and that he needs to have more targets, that nothing's wrong with him. They're just not making him one of the primary focuses of the offense. I'm paraphrasing, but he did throw that out on social media. So that drop was a big one in the third quarter with the game tied at 3. So that's one issue. Another issue is that as they were dealing with injuries to linebackers in the second half. Now remember, we just saw the return of Dre Greenlaw in this game, which is awesome. You guys may remember in the Super Bowl, was it second half, producer Pete, where he goes to sprint from the sidelines to get out onto the field for a play and then drops. Never got touched. Do you remember watching that from the sidelines?
Oh, yeah.
So I believe it was second half, and yes, and they were about to change possession. There maybe have been a turnover, if I don't remember exactly, but I remember he was standing on the sidelines. He sprints off the sideline to get out there on the field and dropped right there after like a yard. Never got touched, and right away knew it was a very serious injury. His teammates were shaken by that. Of course, the Chiefs end up winning again in this one after being down against the Niners. So he plays his first snaps since he tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl. That's huge. But he had a really productive first half. 8 tackles in the first half, played sparingly in the second half. And Kyle Shanahan, he was thrilled to see him out there, but did explain that they weren't going to be able to use him all game long.
I mean, he was unbelievable tonight. And I think we played, I think we took him off. I'm not exactly sure, but I think we took him out the first two series to start the third quarter, I believe. He went in 2 plays and just couldn't get it going again and felt a little tightness and stuff. So I mean, we had to be safe with him.
Yeah, so they wanted to be careful because he's just coming back off this Achilles. They also end up with an injury to another linebacker in D. Winters. So in the third quarter, they ask, or turn to, I guess, say, hey, Devondre Campbell, can you get in the game? You would think that'd be a prime opportunity. This is a tie game. Let's get out there. Let's do some damage. Let's help our team win. Oh, hey, that's not actually what happened.
What happened with Devondre Campbell? He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point?
Yeah, he said he didn't want to play today. Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So
during the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
In the third quarter. You know what this reminds me of? Antonio Brown. Remember when he left the sidelines of, it was Tampa Bay, at MetLife. Sometimes I can't remember who won the Super Bowl last year, but I can tell you these weird situations, these scenes that we see unfold, they're burned in my memory. He pulls off his jersey, thinks about mooning the crowd, and then just leaves the sideline, actually takes a right-hand turn, goes through the off end zone, so they're at the other end of the field, goes through the end zone and out to the locker room. Here's Devondre Campbell, who not only decided to stay on the sidelines in the third quarter when the team needed him, but then he leaves the field in the fourth quarter. There's video, there's photos. He just left. And it wasn't Shanahan as the only guy who was talking about it. As you can hear, reporters, fans obviously picked up on it. What's going on here? Is there an injury? Except he was walking by himself. And so this wasn't an injury. They wouldn't send him without an athletic trainer if something had to be checked out in the locker room. Shanahan indicates he did not want to play. Okay. Well, his teammates, like George Kittle, also pretty frustrated by his decision to refrain from participation.
That is one person who just decided not to, you know, play for his teammates. And I don't think that doesn't make our offense look at each other and be like, wow, man, know, we're falling apart. It's more of a, or like the defense, hey, we're falling apart. It's more of a one person making a, like Mooney said, a selfish decision. And I'm with Mooney on that. And I've never been around anybody that's ever done that. And I hope I'm never around anybody that does that again.
I mean, he's a professional. He's been playing for a long time. I mean, if he didn't want to play, he shouldn't have dressed out. You know, he could have told me that before the game. So I feel like there was some stuff that he did. Definitely hurt the team because, you know, D went down. And we needed a linebacker, you know. And I think Flynn was named up, too. So for him to do that, that's some sucker stuff to me, in my opinion. Like, it's probably going to get cut soon. So, you know, it is what it is with that.
Treverius Ward calls him selfish. Could have just told us before the game he didn't want to play. And then says he's probably going to get cut soon. So it is what it is. Kyle Shanahan was asked that very same question. And his response was, and I quote, "We'll figure out something." Uh-oh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. To me, this is the worst thing you can do. Guys drop passes. Guys miss tackles. Guys miss kicks. Guys throw interceptions. Guys fumble. Guys fail to score in the red zone. Guys botch handoffs. All right, these are all things that happen because you're out there in the arena. You're working your rear end off in most cases. Sometimes it doesn't go your way. But to have a guy give up and quit, to me, is the cardinal sin in sports. And I think in pro sports, you listen to and watch George Kittle. There's a lot more with Kittle on this decision by Devondre Campbell to remove himself from the situation. The more Kittle talked, the more irritated he got. And then you've got a member of the defense saying he's probably going to get cut soon. It is what it is. Shanahan said people noticed that's somebody who doesn't want to play football. However, I want you to hear from Dre Greenlaw because this was a cool return for a guy who tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it felt good. It felt good to just be out there with my brothers, run around. Just having fun, man. It felt good. I got confidence in every guy in the room or in that locker room that they going to come out and they going to give it their all. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, I don't know what it takes for us to go and, you know, whatever percent chance we have. You know, I'm not even looking into none of that. You know, I'm just trying to win the next game.
I don't know what that looks like going forward with the playoff hopes and everything, but regardless, you know, you have everything to play for every time you go out there on Sundays, Thursdays, doesn't matter. You know, you got to go out there and fight every single time you go out there.
Fred Warner, captain of the defense, emotional leader, a longtime veteran in this league. How great is it to see Dre Greenlaw back? They want to be careful with him. He was dealing with some knee soreness in the second half, but they could not count on Devondre Campbell to take some snaps. Here's where the Niners stand. Once again, another close and late loss. Painful loss inside the division. So they've got no tie breaks on anybody because of how this played out. And because now they're, what did I say, 1-4 in the division in the NFC West. They're still basement of the West. Not that they are officially eliminated because they're not. They're actually still mathematically alive in the playoff race. But it's going to be tough. It's 6-8. The Cardinals are 6-7. We'll see what happens with them this weekend. The Rams now sit in the driver's seat. How about this? If the Los Angeles Rams run the table and win their final three games, they will win the NFC West. All right, coming up, Bill Belichick. He's no longer in the NFL. He's going to college. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.